Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for being here. I am Senator Zaida Mohammed. I represent Senate District 63, and I serve as our Policy Caucus Chair this session. Minnesota is at crossroads in how we view and support our Black, Brown, and Indigenous communities. One path leads to hatred, blame, and punishment. The other builds a society of humanity, of dignity, and of prosperity. Donald Trump's words about immigrants and diversity inclusion are divisive dog whistle to right-wing social media and podcasts. His threatened actions are an immediate threat to our families and the progress and stability of our nation. I wish I didn't have to say this in 2025, but access to education, to housing, are gut, and concentration camps are bad. It is disappointing to see extremist conservatives embrace Trump's rhetoric and even some of his own policies, while others fall in line or lose their voice in that process. The members of the Posse Caucus will not be silent, and we will act in the best interest of Minnesota and all of its communities. Our colleagues will hear from us, from experts, and from their own constituents to make that case. In our historically imbalanced state budget, state equity is not only a matter of fairness, it is an economic imperative. The major goals that we have this session are a culturally responsive and accessible healthcare, protecting Minnesotans from discrimination, fully funded cradle to college, an equitable bonding bill, a safe and dignified place to call home. I encourage you to ask us today for more details about these needs and how we will meet them, and to follow our progress in the coming months as we work with these as our guiding principles. Our priorities align with the Senate DFL majority that the voters elected in 2024 and affirmed in 2022 and affirmed in 2024 and again just a week ago. We must protect programs and people from Donald Trump, and we must resist attempts to roll back progress we made for workers and for families in the past 2 years. And we must pass an equitable budget that serves all of Minnesotans. The choice of which path to take is ours, and if we choose to vote our values, it is obvious. Next up, our Vice Chair, Senator Erin McQuaid.
Good morning, I'm Senator Erin McQuaid. I represent Senate District 56, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Posse Caucus in the Senate. Black, Asian, Latino, and Indigenous Minnesotans have always been central to the fight for justice, equality, and prosperity for all in Minnesota, nationally, and globally. Our communities know the importance of this work because our lives depend on it. Right now, there is a concerted effort at the federal level to resegregate our society. This is a coordinated legal, legislative, messaging, and now executive order campaign. And the people who are most affected are Black, Asian, Latino, and Indigenous neighbors and residents, including women and people with disabilities. We are in an all-hands-on-deck situation, and I want Minnesotans to know that I am going to fight this effort to resegregate society and the cruelty that is implied in it with everything that I have. The Posse Caucus is going to fight the resegregation of society and the cruelty implied in it with everything we have. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given, but our collective power is stronger, and we will continue to work with people from all communities to create a better Minnesota where people of all abilities, all colors and heritages, all walks of life have a truly equal chance to live, grow, and thrive in Minnesota. You can ask us about some of our priorities. I, in particular, am really excited to continue to strengthen the READ Act, to invest in literacy for our students and our educators, and the Minnesota Building Families Act, where every Minnesotan who is experiencing infertility has the opportunity to start or grow their family by having their health care covered by insurance. And next, I want to introduce my esteemed colleague, Senator Uma Verbaeten.
Thank you both. Good morning. My name is Claire Umu Verbaeten. I represent District 66, and I also serve as an assistant majority leader for our caucus. Really proud to be standing here with members of the Posse Caucus. I always like to say that before the 2023 legislative session, there had never been a Black woman in the Minnesota Senate, but thankfully, Senator Mohammed, Senator McQuaid, and I were able to change that, and we've shown that that matters. You know, over the past 2 years, the Senate DFL passed some landmark legislation, like the Crown Act, Restoring the Vote, the African American Family Preservation Act, and we're really able to use our own experiences to shape legislation. That matters. We also know there's a lot of work still for us to do, and we're asking our colleagues to think about communities of color, to listen to our concerns, our thoughts, our ideas, and really to think about how legislation and our budgets will impact our lives. We want Minnesota to be the best place to live for everyone. And for too long, our communities have been underrepresented and underserved in policy. I want to highlight just a few things that I will be championing this session, like Minnesota Connecting Families. This is the bill that would make communication free for all incarcerated folks in Minnesota. It's a bipartisan bill, cost-effective, evidence-based program that will allow folks to stay in touch with their families without having to pay predatory rates for communication. A third of families go into debt just trying to stay in touch with their loved ones, and we know that those families are disproportionately people of color, indigenous folks, and low income. So we need to remove those outrageous fees to keep our families connected. I'm also prioritizing a ban on legacy admissions. Legacy admissions reinforce a cycle of disparity, and the data shows that the system fares upper-class white folks over people of color. Many first-generation, low-income, and students of color have faced enough barriers to get to the college admissions process. Legacy preferences are exclusionary, and they exacerbate inequities in higher education. And finally, I will continue to bring forward legislation that prevents landlords from discriminating against those who use Section 8 and other housing choice vouchers to pay rent. All Minnesotans should have access to safe and affordable housing. Communities of color and people with disabilities are disproportionately impacted by this source of income discrimination, which ultimately makes it more difficult for our communities to find upward mobility and economic security. And next, I would like to introduce my colleague, Senator Kunesh.
Well, Hihanewashte, good morning, everybody. I'm State Senator Mary Kunesh. I represent District 39, and I am the eye in the Posse Caucus, people of color and indigenous. The Minnesota State Posse Caucus is continuing to take a constituent-centered approach to the needs of all Minnesotans, but especially those that have lacked the attention and the investment and the resources to thrive as so many others have. As the chair of education finance for the past 2 years, my budget has prioritized academic outcomes and student success for all students, no matter where they live. Whether it's Minnesota's historic increase in public education funding, universal free lunches, thank you, Senator Gustafson, infusing our public libraries with more resources than they've ever had, improving literacy instruction with the READ Act, and thank you, Senator May Quaid, for that. Expanding access to pre-K, supporting our hardworking teachers, especially as we invested the most in the Comprehensive Increasing Teachers of Color and Indigenous Act. We are seeing the results. We are seeing the results of what it is when we invest in the areas that need it the most. We're going to, DFLs at the legislature are serious about making Minnesota a top state for education, and we will continue to do that work. But honestly, I believe that the most important thing that Minnesota's legislature can do is to take to the voters the opportunity to provide certainty and stability to Minnesota's legal system by setting a clear standard that everyone, regardless of their gender, and so many other factors are protected equally in Minnesota's Constitution through an Equal Rights Amendment. Minnesotans deserve nothing less than constitutional equality and government that upholds our basic values of fairness. Gender scrutiny must receive the highest level of scrutiny. Assumed equality is not enough, and our state needs us to do that work for all of us, no matter who we are, what we look like, or the lifestyle that we choose to live. When we approach equity for our tribal nation, it involves protecting and providing equal access to the resources and the opportunities and addressing the educational, health, economic, and digital inequities. So as we build our defense against the barrage of federal cuts and dismantling in every area, this legislature must enforce
and uphold the Native nations are indeed sovereign nations that entitles them to every other protection that United States citizens have, and it is our obligation to recognize the treaties no matter what is coming out of Washington, D.C. Our tribal members are the original citizens of the lands of the United States, and it is unfair for them to be unnecessarily pigeonholed or made exclusive from any of the rights that we all abide and receive at this time. So next, I will invite Senator Paugh up to make her comments.
My name is Senator Susan Paugh. I represent Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, and Osseo. Thank you for joining us today. I am very proud to be here among my colleagues as we talk about our priorities this year. As someone who is new to the legislature, this is my freshman session, and I'm very proud to represent my district and the people here in Minnesota. For too long, we have been told that it is okay for us to be treated as second-class citizens, the people that look like us up here. And for me, in particular, being a refugee to the United States here, my children right now still feel like they're being targeted, discriminated against. My son, who goes to school in elementary, has been told that he needs to go back to his country. My oldest son is still discriminated at work. And so when we talk about whether or not Posse Caucus is still relevant today, it certainly is. For as long as a Posse Caucus has been in existence, we have been fighting for equality, for justice, and just to be treated as everybody else. And more so this year than any other year, that fight's gonna be an uphill battle. And not just for us and ourselves, our families, but for all Minnesotans. I'm proud to be doing this work with my colleagues. But it is not okay that in today's world, we are still fighting just for basic equality, to be treated as humans, and to have opportunities that should be open to anybody and everybody. So as we start our work in this session, as to what my colleagues have already said, we've got a lot ahead of us, many priorities that we will be putting ahead of us and working hard on this session. And I look forward to doing that work with my colleagues, but also with all of our Minnesotans. This is a time where we need all of our advocacy groups, all Minnesotans, and everyone on board to make sure that everyone here in Minnesota is treated the way that we should all be treated. And with that, I want to thank everyone for coming today. Thank you for joining us. And I'll turn it back over to Senator Muhammad.
We'll do questions. How hard is it to get any of this done? It was just noted, uphill battle. Basically, two tied or very narrowly divided chambers at some point this session. Can any of this get bipartisan support to get through?
I mean, I think when you talk about bipartisan support, it should be, because I think our Republican members do represent our communities. They're not just in the metro. They're not just in Minneapolis and St. Paul. They are all over the state. And so we're hoping, you know, these are, I think these are very common sense policies that folks are introducing, right? A connection to your family when they're incarcerated. Safe and dignified place to call home. And so we are hoping to get bipartisan support, but we are in the majority. And so hopefully, at least at the very minimum, we're expecting a 34 vote.
I hear a number of you all saying loud and clear that you are sort of the last roadblock here with this new administration in terms of protecting the rights that you have. I do want to ask, while the overwhelming number of people of color voted for Kamala Harris, there was an increasing number that did vote for Donald Trump, and it's been widely credited as that was one of the factors that put him over the top. What are your thoughts about that? What do you say to people of color who did support President Trump?
So the election was in November, but we are here today. Every American is living under the absolute terror this administration has unleashed on our country. Whether you're a person who receives Pell Grants or WIC or SNAP, Medicaid, I believe today they're going to dismantle the Department of Education, so if you have a kid in school, it is absolute terrorism that we are experiencing. And the blame is going on the fact that we don't have segregation in this country anymore. the things that are happening that are bad in this country, Donald Trump, his billionaires, and their minions are blaming on the fact that we don't have segregation in this country. So at this point, I'm not totally interested in who people voted for. I'm interested in their safety, their protection, and their ability to live, grow, and thrive in the state of Minnesota and any state in this country. And so, we can talk about the election, but it doesn't matter anymore because the election happened and here we are. What's happening now is absolute terrorism in this country, and we need to stand up for Minnesotans no matter who they voted for, because everybody deserves to be treated with dignity, respect, and be able to live, grow, and thrive in Minnesota. And that's what we're going to continue to fight for.
House Republicans have said they're looking into state government, going after DEI initiatives. I don't know if you heard, Senate Republicans were asked about it last week, and they said, we're actually not interested.
So, two things. If the House Republicans want to resegregate Minnesota, then they should just admit that. The Senate Republicans might have said that they're not interested in rolling back efforts to integrate society, to include women, people of color, and people with disabilities in workplaces and in society. But one of the days last week, a Republican senator invited the Center for American Experiment to come to the Judiciary Committee and present a report about how black people are more violent than white people, and that's why they're arrested at higher rates and incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So they might not have said that they're doing it, but they're permeating the idea of a racial hierarchy in all of the committee hearings that they're doing, and in particular with that hearing. So they're obviously taking the mantle of white people are better than people of color, there should be a racial hierarchy in the society. That's coming down from the top at the federal government, and Republicans in this chamber and in the House are obviously picking that up and running with it.
Are you at all intimidated by the fact that in Washington you've got two houses that are controlled by Republicans? You have the slimmest of majority the DFL does here, and obviously the president is going ahead with sweeping policies, some that were not even anticipated. I mean, it seems like it would be a daunting task to fight back on. Do you really feel that you guys can do it? Mm-hmm.
Did anybody want to? Yeah, go ahead. Oh,
you should go.
I'm just proud that I live here in Minnesota, because where we have a governor who is a Democrat, where we have a Senate who is Democrat control, and we have a lot of elected officials and state elected officials that protect people. But my cousin, who lives in Texas, is terrorized. She's thinking about moving up here to Minnesota, because in Texas, it's mostly Republican run. And so she's afraid that things in Texas are going to change now with the new administration at the federal level. So people all over our nation is in a lot worse spot than we are. Not saying that we're not going to fight for Minnesotans, but for sure, because we are the last line of defense, we are going to protect Minnesotans. That's what we're going to do for Minnesota. Unfortunately, other states do not have Democrats who are going to fight for them, and that's where they're going to have to live or decide that they're going to move out of that state.
I was just going to say, we're honestly calling on our colleagues to stand with us, not just our colleagues in the Senate DFL majority, but honestly Republicans who also want to stand up to hatred and bigotry and actually stand for equity and justice for all Minnesotans. That shouldn't be a partisan issue.
The only thing I'll add is that the harm is already happening. So you have community health clinics that aren't receiving their federal funds. You have moms with newborns that have their WIC cards turned off. Head Start programs haven't received their funding yet. So the conversation, can we protect Minnesotans from the federal government? Not all the way, but we have to make sure that we're doing every single thing that we can to protect Minnesotans from the harm that is being wrought, up and including to notifying Minnesotans that there's been a data breach at the federal government where every single person whose data is controlled by the Department of Treasury, which, spoiler alert, it's everybody, is now in control of an unelected billionaire and people who don't have security clearance. And do I fear that they're going to go through line by line and amalgamate all the data of your race, your gender, your location, how much property you have, how many kids you have, what kind of health care you receive, and then turn off any federal funds to you? Yeah, I'm very concerned about that. We have a duty as a state government to notify people of that breach, to actually talk amongst ourselves. Can we be transmitting data to the federal government knowing there's an ongoing security breach? So we can do things as a government to make sure we're protecting our citizens. You know, but the federal government is still the federal government, and we need to make sure that we're holding them to account while we continue to protect Minnesotans.
Mm-hmm. I'll just add one more thing. Senator Elise Mann from Senate District 50, to very directly answer that question, we are not intimidated.
Thank you.
People have been fighting this battle against hatred and bigotry and inequality for hundreds of years. We are simply picking up that baton, and we're going to keep running.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Ye